Today we are discussing on Bhagavad Gita, first chapter, 15th shloka. So I'll recite and please repeat after me. First chapter, 15th shloka. Panchajanyam Rishikesho Devadattam Dhananjayaha Paundram Dadmau Mahashankham Bhima Karma Vrukodaraha Panchajanyam Rishikesho Devadattam Dhananjayaha Paundram Dadmau Mahashankham Bhima Karma Vrukodaraha Panchajanyam Rishikesho Devadattam Dhananjayaha Paundram Dadmau Mahashankham Bhima Karma Vrukodaraha. Please recite. Panchajanyam Rishikesho Devadattam Dhananjayaha Paundram Dadmau Mahashankham Bhima Karma Vrukodaraha Panchajanyam Rishikesho Devadattam Dhananjayaha Paundram Dadmau Mahashankham Bhima Karma Vrukodaraha Panchajanyam Rishikesho Devadattam Dhananjayaha Aunram Dadmau Mahashankham Bhima Karma Vrukodaraha Panchajanyam Rishikesho Devadattam Dhananjayaha Paundram Dadmau Mahashankham Bhima Karma Vrukodaraha. Word to word. Panchajanyam, the conscious named Panchajanya. Rishik Ishaha, Rishikesh, bracket Krishna, the Lord who directs the senses of the devotees. Devadattam, the conscious named Devadatta. Dhananjayaha, Dhananjaya, Arjun, the winner of wealth. Paundram, the conch named Paundra. Dadmau, blue. Mahashankham, the terrific conch shell. Bhimakarma, one who performs Herculean tasks. Vrik Udaraha, the voracious eater Bhima. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Translation, Lord Krishna blew his conch shell called Panchajanya. Arjun blew his, the Devadatta, and Bhima, the voracious eater and performer of Herculean tasks, blew his terrific conch shell called Paundra. Now, before we read purport, I would just summarize what I am going to discuss on. Then we'll read so that we can focus on what is the discussion going on. So, the topic which I have named this my lecture, the topic of the lecture would be understanding the bhakti cult. And why I have chosen this is because Prabhupada focuses initially only on Rishikesh, that word. That Krishna is Rishikesh and he directs the senses of his devotees. So that, and then Prabhupada proceeds with that, what is bhakti and what is impersonalism and personalism, difference between that. And lastly, Prabhupada says about names, different names in Vedic times, the nomenclature, how person was named was by his activities. So that will be my focus. So now we'll study the purport. We'll go through the purport. Please hear carefully and then we'll discuss. Purport. Lord Krishna is referred to as Rishikesh in this verse because he is the owner of all senses. The living entities are part and parcel of him, and therefore the senses of the living entities are also part and parcel of his senses. The impersonalists cannot account for the senses of the living entities, and therefore they are always anxious to describe all living entities as senseless or impersonal. The Lord, situated in the hearts of all living entities, directs their senses. But he directs in terms of the surrender of the living entity, and in the case of a pure devotee, he directly controls the senses. Here, on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, the Lord directly controls the transcendental senses of Arjun and thus his particular name of Rishikesh. The Lord has different names according to his different activities. For example, his name is Madhusudan because he killed the demon of the name Madhu. His name is Govinda because he gives pleasure to the cows and to the senses. His name is Vasudev because he appeared as the son of Vasudev. His name is Devaki Nandan because he accepted Devaki as his mother. His name is Yashoda Nandan because he awarded his childhood pastimes to Yashoda at Vrindavan. His name is Parthasarthi because he worked as charioteer of his friend Arjun. Similarly, his name is Rishikesh because he gave direction to Arjun on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Now, this is another definition Prabhupada is saying. Rishikesh because he gave direction. Generally, Prabhupada says Rishik Isha. Rishik means the senses and Ish means the controller. But here Prabhupada is saying, and this is also befitting, Rishikesh, he is named Rishikesh here. Arjun is calling, or Sanjay is calling him Rishikesh because he gave direction to Arjun on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Very interesting purport. Arjun is referred to as Dhananjay in this verse because he helped his elder brother in fetching wealth when it was required by the king to make expenditures for different sacrifices. Similarly, Bhim is known as Vrukodar because he could eat as voraciously as he could perform Herculean tasks, such as killing the demon Hidimba. So the particular types of conch shell blown by the different personalities on the side of the Pandavas, beginning with the lords, were all very encouraging to the fighting soldiers. On the other side, there were no such credits, nor the presence of Lord Krishna, the supreme director, nor that of the goddess of fortune. So they were destined to lose the battle, and that was the message announced by the sounds of the conch shells. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So now we'll begin with what Prabhupada says on this purport. There is a lecture which is given in the Veda base. There Prabhupada begins, because Prabhupada was talking to his disciples, and disciples are like sons. So Prabhupada begins with chastisement. Prabhupada says, but mild chastisement, not heavy. Prabhupada says, Bhim is named Vrukodar. Because, and Bhim Karma, two names are there in the same shloka. Bhim Karma and Vrukodar. Bhim Karma means he can do Herculean tasks. And Vrukodar means he can eat voraciously. So Prabhupada says in Bengali, it is said that if you can eat nicely, then you can carry a lot of load. So Prabhupada says, then we have ISKCON temples and we can eat very nicely, but then we should work hard for Krishna. Not just eat and sleep, which Bhaktivedanta Saraswati used to say, don't make Gaudiya Math as Khabor Badi. Khabor Badi means just eat and sleep and pass stool. So in the same line, Prabhupada is kind of correcting his disciples or chastising. And then Prabhupada goes in that lecture to expanding on nomenclature, how in Vedic times people were named. Prabhupada says, again, it was mild chastisement of the modern civilization, especially the Western civilization, where people are just named Michael. It doesn't mean anything. Just some name. Whatever comes, they give that name. But Prabhupada says, before a child takes birth, his horoscope was seen. And his activities were prophesied, that what he is going to do. And according to what he is going to do, he was named according to those activities which he is going to perform in his lifetime. So similarly, Arjun was named right in the beginning and Krishna was named. So then Prabhupada says Krishna, Prabhupada comes to Krishna because we are all devotees. So Prabhupada says Krishna is the best name for God. And this is famous, whenever Prabhupada was in conversation with Christians especially, and even with Muslims, or people of different faiths, and they challenge, why you are saying to chant Hare Krishna? Prabhupada says, we are not saying to you chant Hare Krishna. Prabhupada was never dogmatic about it, that you chant Hare Krishna only. Prabhupada said, if you have, in your faith, if you have a name of God, then you chant. But that name should be bona fide, not that you have made up some name. It should be bona fide according to the activities of God. You may have, God is great, and that is Allah. Okay, Allah in your language means God is great. Yes, God is great. So that is proper fitting name for God. Jehovah is proper name for God, because Jehovah means all merciful. So God must be merciful. Whoever God is, you may say whoever God is, you may not worship Krishna as we worship, you may not accept that form, but whoever God is, he should be very merciful. Why? Because so many people are living. Even people who deny God's existence, atheists, they are also not killed by God. God gives them also to eat. So that means God should be very merciful. So Jehovah is the proper name. But don't concoct your own name. It should come in the proper parampara of devotees, those who know Krishna. And then Prabhupada used to say that if you don't have name, then take it from us. We have names of Krishna. There are so many names, crores and crores, unlimited names, and we can tell you these are names according to the activities of Krishna, which is the encyclopedia of the activities of Krishna is Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam from first canto to the 12th canto just describes Krishna's qualities and activities. And God is named according to his qualities and activities. Though the qualities and activities of God are unlimited. First I'm saying God, not Krishna. First I'm making a generalization. So God is infinite. And his activities are infinite. Like Bhagavatam says, Nantam, this is Brahma's prayers in the second canto. Nantam vidamyahamami munayo grajaste maya balasya purushasya kutovaraye gayan gunan dashashatanan adi devah shesho dhunapi samavasyati nasya param. If I'm going too fast, please slow me down. I try to be slow, but then I generally go fast. So if I'm going too fast, please slow me down. So this shloka in the second canto says that Brahmaji is speaking to Narad. And he says, O Narad, before you there are so many saints, seven rishis, saptarishis, and even Lord Brahma himself. We are all trying to sing the glories of the Lord. But nantam vidamahamami. Vidam means no. To know means vidam. So he's saying that neither I know fully the glories of the Supreme Lord, nor you, nor the rishis, the saints who have come before you. Then what to talk of those who are coming after us, who are completely under maya, under illusion, under ignorance. Maya means ignorance. So those who are under ignorance, maya balasya kuto varaye, how can they know? And then he goes on to say, at the end of that shloka, Shesho dhunapi samavasyati nasya param. He says, even Lord himself, in his form of Ananta Shesh, with thousands and thousands of mouths, he is trying to glorify himself, trying to enumerate all his activities and glories, and nasya param. He is also not coming to the end of those glories. So how can anybody in this world know? But whatever I am going to tell you now, next shloka, after this he says, Brahmaji says, whatever I am going to describe to you now, Narad, that is some glories of the Lord, which will make us very much satisfied. So this is 18,000 shlokas is the minimum. In human society on earth, we have 18,000 shlokas. And those who don't know, Yamaraj have 1 lakh shlokas in his Bhagavatam. And every day he is reciting. And Brahmaji has 1 billion shlokas in his Bhagavatam. And Lord Sheshnag has unlimited shlokas in his Bhagavatam. So Bhagavatam is glories defined, the activities and glories of the Lord defined. And that whole Bhagavatam, it takes the whole Bhagavatam to properly define the Supreme Lord. And people have the tendency, those who are impersonalists, Prabhupada is saying here, impersonalists generally take to Bhagavatam. Even during Prabhupada times, Prabhupada used to say that in this Vrindavan Dham, when Prabhupada came here, he told his disciples, in Vrindavan Dham there are so many Bhagavat Saptas going on. Seven day Saptas of Bhagavatam, on Bhagavatam discourses. But those are given only by the impersonalists. There are no devotees who are reciting Bhagavatam in all of Vrindavan. That's why Prabhupada warned his devotees, his disciples, that I have given you everything in these four walls of Krishna Balaram. Don't go outside. Now, here we have to be very careful. I generally warn devotees. Not when Prabhupada is saying don't go outside, doesn't mean we don't go for parikrama. Sometimes we become too fanatic about it. Prabhupada, what he means to say, we are so neophyte, unless until we have gone through Bhagavatam very nicely and digested it, and with Chaitanya Charitamrita, we won't be able to understand others' discourses. How they are inserting their Mayavada or the philosophy which says Krishna has no hands, God has no hands. Mayavada basically means, saying it in simple terms, God has no hands, no legs, no mouth, no head, no brain, no qualities. That means what? There's no existence of God. Then why are you talking about God? But we won't be, in our immature state, we won't be able to understand what they are saying. They don't say it directly. They say it in such a very nice diplomatic or in such word jugglery that we will think that, ooh, he's crying. When some Bhagavata reciters, they start crying when they are reciting some leelas of the Supreme Lord. But after the class, I heard from one very senior devotee, he said that I had a friend in college. This devotee came to ISKCON and his friend went somewhere else. After many, many years, they met together. And he was also a big saint. And this devotee is also a big saint. So they met. And that person told our devotee here that, oh friend, after so many years we have met, but you are simple brahmachari and you have not made any money. See, I am also talking on Bhagavatam. I am also giving discourses. And see, I have a big bungalow. Then he invited, you come to my classes. So he went to his class. And he was amazed. When he was reciting Bhagavatam, it was much better than all ISKCON devotees. Okay, combined together. What to say, Prabhupada. Okay. It was very nice. And he was even crying when he was telling pastimes. And with him, his audience was also crying. But amazingly, what happened, after his session was over, his class was over, then he had a private talk with his friend. Old friends met and they went inside and they were taking some prasadam. And then this devotee asked him, hey Baba, you are having so much bhav for the Lord. How you got so much bhav? What you are doing? What are your practices? What is your sadhana? He said, I'm just making a show. And people are liking. It's very easy to recite, to memorize some shlokas and to tell them in a very feeling way. So I'm just making a drama. Then he said, I have not even an iota of faith that these are true stories. He said, these are all stories only. Only dantakatha in Hindi. Or fairy tales. That's all. And this is the problem with these Mayavadis. And that's why Prabhupada is so strong. Where you won't see in the shloka, there is no impersonalism. There also Prabhupada brings impersonalism. Like this shloka tells nothing about impersonalism. And in the purport, Prabhupada is writing about impersonalism. That impersonalists try to deny the senses of the Lord, try to deny the living entities, and they are anxious. They cannot understand how can a living entity have senses. That's why they say their philosophy is ghatakash patakash. Ghatakash patakash means ghat. Ghat means a pot, a water pot, or a normal pot made of mud. Okay, mud pot. And when this is mud pot, they compare mud pot with our body. That this body is made of bhumi, rapo, analo, vayu. It is made of bhumi, earth, basically. So when death comes, if we want to become Krishna, we want to become God, aham brahmasmi, That slogan, that chanting mantra is Aham Brahmasmi, Aham Brahmasmi. That I am that Brahman, I am that Brahman. That means I am God. So for realization, you have to die. And when you die, this body breaks down. So the ghat, the pot breaks down. And when the pot breaks down, the inside air amalgamates with the outside air. And the whole thing becomes one. So you become God. After that, you will become God. That is their philosophy. Just wait for death. And till that time, what you do? You just come to our mutt and give us some donation, sit in our classes, and that's it. And make everyone a donkey by your pravachanas. Okay. So this is their philosophy. That's why Prabhupada was so strong about it. Because everyone in this world is basically impersonalist. Nobody is a devotee. But a devotee is a different person. And till we don't take to Bhagavad philosophy, Bhaktivedanta Saraswati used to say that even if all the scriptures, all the books of the world are thrown into the Pacific Ocean, but one treatise remains, which is called Srimad Bhagavatam, there will be no loss for this world. How that important is Bhagavatam. And if at least I have this experience, if you also share this experience, that before coming to Bhagavatam's shelter, before coming to ISKCON and studying Bhagavatam, there are many people who come to ISKCON, but very few amongst them actually seriously take to the study of Bhagavatam with Prabhupada purports, and they don't go here and there for nectar hunting. Those are very few. Generally, devotees come, they don't get rasa in Prabhupada purports, and then they want rasa from this book and that book. But if we take shelter of what Prabhupada has given, then, and before coming to Prabhupada's shelter, before coming to Bhagavatam shelter, if we have studied different philosophies in the world, different mathas, different Bhagavad Gitas, and different Western philosophers, then you'll find that there was some lacuna. Lacuna means there was some gap, some dissatisfaction. There was some mysticism. All those philosophies tell that there is some mysticism about it, which you cannot touch, which you cannot understand. There is something. Yes, you are saying right, but what I have to do? You're not able to understand that. But with Bhagavad philosophy, it becomes very clear. The abhidheya and the prayojan both become very clear. Prayojan means the goal, and abhidheya means the process. What we have to do and where we'll reach. And as we take to the process of bhakti cult, as given by Srila Prabhupada and previous acharyas, we start feeling satisfaction. What Bhagavatam says in the 11th canto, it says that three things happen as we take to this process. Like with eating, it gives an analogy. When we eat chapatis, so nobody has to tell us that your stomach is full. Three things happen simultaneously, that shloka says. First, we eat chapati. First thing what happens is tushti. Tushti means satisfaction. I'm eating. Supposing I'm hungry for 2 days and you give me some prasadam, then first thing happens, my tongue becomes satisfied. Tushti. Second thing happens is pushti. Pushti means I get energy. I was weak, now I get energy. And third thing is shuddha payo. That hankering is satisfied. The hankering for more food is gradually satisfied. And the point comes when I'm completely satisfied. Similarly, as shloka says, similarly, when we take to the right process of spiritual life, which is taking us to the transcendental realization, what happens, even before we get complete realization of Krishna or realization of God or self-realization, three things start happening. Bhakti, tushti, shuddha apayo, anughasam. With every shloka, with everything, bhakti par ish anubhav, bhakti par ish anubhav, bhakti par ish anubhav, and third is, bhakti pareshanu bhavo trik ek kala. Bhakti, first thing is devotion for the Lord. Second thing is our material hankering is satisfied. We are not, it's easier to follow the four regulative principles. If we are following bhakti process properly, if you are chanting 16 rounds very attentively, and we are studying scriptures, it's easier to follow four regulative principles. Means material hankering is satisfied. Getting it? Tushti. Material hankering is satisfied because we are always hankering. Oh, my senses should be satisfied. And we are taking to illicit life for that. the jivas here in this material world take to illicit life. But that is easily stopped when we take to the right process and in the right manner. And that right process is chanting the holy names nicely, at least 16 rounds, and studying Srimad Bhagavatam. Then second thing happens, first thing is devotion comes for the Lord. Gradually we start becoming attracted to the form of the Lord, to Krishna Balaram. Initially we are not attracted, oh this is stone, we see here, there, we are more attracted to prasadam. That's okay. But gradually devotion starts coming. Second thing happens is we don't get attracted to material sense gratification. And third thing happens is, that is most important, par ish anubhav. That we start getting realization of Krishna's hand in our life. How Krishna is working in our life. How Krishna is saving us from troubles. How Krishna has taken us in his lap and we are being cared for. And this happens as a devotee gradually advances in spiritual life. He starts seeing, and these things, this parish anubhav, this experience of Lord's hand in our life, cannot be so easily shared with anybody. It can be shared with Swajatiya Vaishnava or those who have similar realization. But it cannot be said, and that's why... Even not with all devotees. That's why I'm saying, par Swajatiya Vaishnava, this is terminology from Chaitanya Charitamrita, those devotees who are of similar realization, not all devotees. They are devotees of different realization. That's why you see, all devotees cannot talk with all devotees. Opening of the heart, which is one of the very important thing, the six kinds of exchanges between devotees, is Guhyam Akhyati Purchati, Nectar of Instruction. This is from Upadeshamrita, the Nectar of Instruction by Rupa Goswami. That Guhyam Akhyati Purchati, telling the secret feelings. Secret feelings means the feelings which one has for the Lord, how he is advancing. That cannot be told with everyone. That's why that can be done with only very few people. Of course, we can have some general realization shared with everyone in a big sabha. And that's why you see, even senior devotees, ISKCON, or even Prabhupada, when he met with Akinchan Krishnadas Babaji, they had talks and they were very personal. No other devotees were allowed in that room. Here only, in Prabhupada's house, when Akinchan Krishnadas Babaji, who was Prabhupada's godbrother, he used to come from Radhakund to meet with Prabhupada. They had big laughter and they were laughing and rolling on the ground almost, both of them. And Prabhupada used to ask him to sing some songs, Vaishnava Bhajan. So this Guhyam Akhyati Pruchyati, that par ish anubhav, is very important in our life. And that keeps us going on in spiritual life. So now, the second part of this is bhakti cult, what it gives us. Now, I am coming to Rishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Ruchyate, where Prabhupada emphasizes on this. I'm going to focus on that. Prabhupada says, Prabhupada quotes this shloka, Sarvopadhi Vinirmuktam Tatparatvena Nirmalam Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Ruchyate. This is the definition of bhakti. What is that definition? This is the definition of mature bhakti. Means when a person has matured, he's not a sadhaka bhakta anymore. He has come to the pinnacle of bhakti, his practices, and he is a self-realized soul. It says, Sarvopadhi Vinirmuktam. At that stage, what happens is one gives up all upadhis. Upadhis means designations. Designation are, I'm English, I'm Indian, I'm American. This is very gross. Okay, I'm black, I'm white, that discrimination, I'm Eastern, I'm Western. Subtler than that is, I'm Hindu, I'm Muslim. It's very difficult to understand. A Hindu, I'm a Hindu, or I'm a Muslim. How can that be a designation? That's also a designation. Because these are all manodharmas. These are all mentally concocted religions. They are not given by Krishna. They are not given by God. Religion means the codes of conduct given by the supreme authority who created this whole universe. That is the definition of religion according to Bhagavatam. Religion, actually religion is not the proper translation of dharma. Religion means, in English dictionary, religion means some kind of belief, whatever you can believe in. But dharma means the intrinsic property of something. So dharma cannot be mentally concocted. Dharma are the codes of conduct given by the Supreme Lord. Dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. Whatever is given by the Supreme Lord, that is called dharma. So, this Hindu, Muslim, that's also designation. Next, now third level of subtler designation is after coming to ISKCON. Now, we don't mind this, but this is very difficult to give up. After coming to ISKCON, we become, I'm a brahmachari. And brahmachari fanatic. Oh, this red cloth. And you get name, fame, prestige by that. Oh, I'm a big lecturer. I'm famous as temple president or a manager in the temple or some particular service I'm doing. We start associating with it on a material level, not on a spiritual level. Even great devotees who are actually devotees of the Lord, they are also attached to their service. Even in Golok Vrindavan, they are also attached. But their attachment to service and our attachment to service has different understanding. Their attachment to service is that this Krishna likes me to do. Our attachment to service is this I am doing for so many years. If this service changes, then I have to learn again. One thing. Second, now I'm established in this service and I'm getting facilities by this service. And a big organization like ISKCON and big temples like Vrindavan, we start getting some facilities as an authority. So that's also upadhi, but it's very difficult to give it up because this has a garb of spirituality. And we are stuck with that garb only. And real essence, the substance we start missing. Over a period of time, we are just focused on the externals and the substance is lost. So we have to be very careful. That's why bhakti, sadhan karle, bhajan karle, mrityu samay janne koi. That whatever you have done, sadhan, bhajan, that will be tested at the time of death, what you have done. That time everything, how much you are Krishna conscious, how much you are remembering, that will be tested. And it will be very late. So, sarvopadhi vinirmuktam. And when one gives up all upadhis, all designations, then what happens? Nirmalatvena. One's heart becomes very peaceful and without any false ego. And becomes very nirmal. Nirmal means very soft. Soft like butter. And Krishna is the lover of soft butter. He used to leave Yashoda Maiya's butter and go to other gopis' houses to steal butter just to taste how soft they have made. And because they were yearning, oh, Krishna will come and he will take our butter. He should take my butter. That's why the gopis used to churn butter so nicely that it becomes softer than Mother Yashoda. And that is transcendental competition to attract Krishna. And that butter, acharyas say, that butter like soft our heart should become. And Krishna will steal this butter and take it away. Because at the time of death, Prabhupada was asked one time, Prabhupada, at the time of death, you say 40 lakh, scorpion are biting. That much pain is there for the jiva. So will we be able to remember Krishna? Maharaj Kulshekhar says that Krishna tvadiya pada pankaja panjarantam adyaiva me vishatu manasa rajahamsa prana prayana samaye kafvata pittai kanthavarodhana vidhau smaranam kutaste. Oh my Lord, at the time of death, this throat of mine will be completely, choked up with kaf, mucus and bile. How will I be able to chant your holy names? So, devotees ask Prabhupada, Prabhupada, we will be able to remember? Prabhupada says, no, you won't be able to remember. At that time, if you have done lifetime of devotional service, this is a very nice phrase, lifetime of devotional service, then Krishna will be so obliged that he will remember you. You won't be able to remember. Now also he remembers us. So what will be the difference at that time? But that time you will become so dear. Krishna will, he's not able to remember. He'll come, he'll force himself into your heart. Like Bhishma Pitama. Bhishma Pitama was lying on the arrow bed and arrows were piercing. Even 1 inch gap was not there between two arrows. But at that time, Krishna was standing in front of him and Bhishma Pitama said, oh Krishna, now you stand. Don't think I'm feeling any pain. As I'm seeing you, I'm so attractive to your beauty that I'm not feeling any pain. And he was not joking. Because for 6 months, he gave upadesh, he gave lessons of different things, how to manage, how to govern, about politics, about sociology, everything to Maharaj Yudhishthira for 6 months. If he was actually in pain, he could not speak. But he was not actually having any pain. It was not just mental suggestion, which the Western philosophers say this all Bhagavatam is only mythology. How can it be? It's only mental suggestion. Oh, I am good, I am good, I am good, and you will feel you are good. You know that mental suggestion, psychiatrists say, you just say, you are not depressed, you are best of the world and you become best of the world. Just stand in front of the mirror and tell yourself, no, you are not a fool. The whole world says you are a fool. No, you are not a fool. You are the best. You are the king and this and that. That is not Bhagavatam. Actually, when a person gets attracted to Krishna, one feels like Bhishma Pitama. He has no pain of this material world. This body, he is completely disassociated with this body. And Prabhupada gives in the fourth canto in one purport, Prabhupada gives this example of a coconut. A coconut, when you the coconut is, you take from the tree and you do like this, it won't make any sound. But you put it under the sun and the sun will dry it up. Gradually, the pulp will get disassociated with the covering. And then after a month or 15 days under the sun, you do like this and it will make kit, 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 kit sound. So the pulp is the Atman and the covering is the body. If we do the bhajan is like the sunlight. And when we chant the holy names, Krishna Surya Sam Maya Hai Andhakar. Krishna and Krishna's name are non-different. And Krishna is like sun. So when the sun's heat, Krishna's heat, the bhajan's heat comes on this body. When we are chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Very strenuously. It requires efforts to do this sadhana. Then what happens is the sun of bhajan of Krishna is blazing on this body. And gradually this soul, this body, this coconut of this body gets dried up. And the soul gets disassociated. Then whatever pain comes to the body, the soul is not affected by it. So this happens. Sarvopadi vinirmuktam tat paratvena nirmalam. Rishikena rishikesha sevanam. At that stage actually, one, Rishikena Rishikesha, one with these senses can serve Krishna. Only at that stage. Not before that. Right now when we are trying to serve Krishna with these senses, we are actually not trying to serve Krishna. We are trying to serve our own selves. Because we have that tendency. But as we study Bhagavatam, as we take to this process, that's why study of Bhagavatam is very, very essential. Sometimes devotees say, yesterday night only I was talking to some devotees and I was emphasizing that we have to study Bhagavatam. One devotee said, Prabhu, but everyone cannot study. Everyone doesn't have that inclination. Only Brahmanas can study. Kshatriyas cannot study. And now this is first misconception about Kshatriyas. Kshatriyas are actually Brahmanas. Generally, the misconception about Kshatriya is a passionate person who just likes to fight, 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 fight. And this is the modern conception, Hitler is a Kshatriya. No, Hitler is not a Kshatriya. The Western fighters or Eastern fighters are not Kshatriyas. They are just fighters, they are hooligans. They are not Kshatriyas. They are barbarians. They just want to loot. They are not Kshatriyas. Kshatriya will never shoot from bunkers. Kshatriya will just come in front. That is first. Kshatriya is not a passionate person. Kshatriya has very good intelligence. He is a Rajarishi. Actual Kshatriya is a Rajarishi who is fully trained in Gurukula as a Brahmana. And then he is told to govern the citizen, to make them God conscious. The Kshatriya is called Nardeva. Nardeva means he is the representative of the Lord. Who can become a representative of the Lord if he is not a Brahmana? Can he become? He has to be a Brahmana. Brahma janati iti Brahmana only can be a Kshatriya. So he was told, you have to. And Kshatriya means Kshat trayate iti Kshatriya. One who protects his citizens from Kshati, from getting hurt. And three types of hurts are told. Three types of harm is told. First is the harm to the body. That's very rudimentary. Next higher level of harm is mental anxiety. And you will read in Bhagavatam, in Yudhishthira Maharaj's time, there was nobody had any mental anxiety. That's the kind of government we should have. That's called Ramraj. And third, the greatest harm is spiritual harm. To stop somebody or to not give a chance to the citizens to understand God, to understand Krishna. And that harm only can be protected by a person who knows spiritual life. So he has to be a Brahmana. So first is that misunderstanding. So that devotee said, Prabhu, I don't have tendency to study, so I am not a Brahmana. But a Brahmana's duty is to make everyone a Brahmana. A Brahmana by inspiration, by his talks and by his activities, he inspires others to become Brahmana. And it's not very difficult to study Bhagavatam. Third thing I told him, it's not very difficult to study Bhagavatam. If it's not, Bhagavatam is not like integration formulas in physics or chemistry. Something vague, something in the air you can't touch. Okay, like integration or limits or derivation, those who know a chemical thing. We can't see in the world. Even 1, 2, 3, even mathematics, we don't see in the world. Right? Where is 1 in the world? There's no 1, 2, 3. There are only symbols. But Bhagavatam shlokas are actually related with our life. But what is blocking us from studying Bhagavatam is a kind of, oh, this is scripture. Scripture I cannot. Even before trying, we have put up our weapons. Even before the army has attacked, we have said, oh, I cannot fight with the army. We don't take to the course of Bhagavatam. Prabhupada has given Bhagavatam, explained Bhagavatam in such simplistic terms. Very simple. Only thing is, we have to study at least 1 hour or 2 hours a day. And nobody can say, I don't have that time. So anyway, so that comes, if we take to this process very, very seriously, then gradually, Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam, we are able to serve, Rishikena means these senses, with these senses we are able to serve Rishikesh, who is the controller of the senses. And when we do that, the benefit is, Prabhupada says in this purport, if you remember now, Prabhupada says, Rishikesh means, of course in the lecture Prabhupada says, Rishikesh means his Paramatma feature. Paramatma is sitting in the heart and he is controlling the senses. For everyone, he controls the senses. But according to the surrender of the devotee, remember in the purport we have read, that according to the surrender, Paramatma controls the senses. Always Paramatma is speaking something to us. But in our conditioned state, we ignore what he is saying. Like a person who is a drunkard. Every drunkard, you ask him, when he is sane, you ask him, in the morning you ask him, is drinking good? Really tell me. He'll say no. But still in the evening, he'll go and drink. And in the evening, you ask him again, when he is drinking, still you ask him, is it good? He says no. Who is saying that no? Is Paramatma. Actually, Paramatma is saying, don't do this. Don't commit theft. Don't do this nonsense. When we, sometimes after taking to devotional life, we go on bad sites or do something, write something to somebody or say something to somebody which is not good and we know it. Somebody from inside is saying, don't do it. And who is saying that? That's Paramatma. But we are not surrendered enough. This body is compared to Rath. A chariot. And Krishna is sitting on that chariot. And Arjun is compared with the soul. One of the analogies in Kathopanishad. Arjun is compared to the soul. And of course, don't take it as mythical. Arjun was a reality. He is a historical figure. And Krishna is historical. But another analogy is also there. That Rath, the chariot is this body. And the soul is sitting. And Paramatma is guiding him. But generally, Paramatma is just Anumanta Upadrashta, which Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. For normal person, I am just seeing Upadrashta, I am a witness, and Anumanta. If he has proper credits to do something, I give Anumati, I give him permission. And no more than that. But when a person is totally surrendered like Krishna, like Arjun, then Krishna starts directing. Krishna starts taking his chariot here, there. Krishna starts actually chastising him. Krishna starts talking here itself. And this is what I was saying, par ish anubhav. And we all must be having whatever years of practice we have done, with whatever seriousness, we must have before, like if somebody has practiced 10 years, then 10 years before and 10 years after, Krishna is talking to us more. Isn't it? It could be through the books. It could be sometimes we are doing and we have more control over the senses, which we didn't have. Now we have more control over the senses. Why? Because Krishna is taking over. And gradually Bhagavatam says, which canto? Fourth, I think third or fourth canto. Bhagavatam says, as a devotee practices more and more. Krishna, initially, as Paramatma, is just sitting. Then he stands up. Then he gets up like that. Then he starts doing like this. Do this, do this, do this. And finally, what he says to the soul, you sit now, I'm doing it. And he takes over the body. I'm forgetting the shloka. Actually, the shloka says, first, two birds in the tree. One bird is eating the fruit, that is Atma. And the other bird is only observing, witness. Gradually what happens? This bird stops eating the fruit. And this bird, Paramatma, takes over. He is watching. Oh, how wonderful my Lord is acting. And this bird is acting. And then the devotee is in ecstasy. Evam vrata hasvapriya naam kirtya jatanu rago drita uchyati hasatyato rodati rauti gayati unmadva nirtyati lokabahya. At that stage what happens? He is wonderstruck. How my Lord is working such wonderful activities through this abominable body. And that time that body becomes wonderful. And what happens? He starts hasati atho. Sometimes when Lord does something wonderful, he starts laughing. Hasati atho roditi. Sometimes he says, why I have been separated from the Lord? Why I have been such an obnoxious person, such an obstinate person? I was not hearing to the Supreme Lord. And he starts crying. Hasati atho roditi rauti gayati. And then he starts singing the glories of the Lord. Unmadvan nrityati. And finally he starts jumping and dancing like a madman, completely oblivious to his surroundings, what others are saying. And then suddenly he becomes, oh, people are observing. And this we can see in the Antalila Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, sometimes he was in ecstasy. And then he came in external consciousness. And then he said, oh, I have to control myself. So this is the result of what we can have by following the footsteps of Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada has given this very wonderful process of Bhagavat Marg, by which we can achieve the greatest result, the greatest happiness, which is not available in any other cult except this bhakti cult. No other cult, no other process. This other people can say, I'm very proud, but actually, Maharaj Yamunacharya, he says, maybe the aristocratic people or those who are Sanskrit literates, the scholars, they may say, I'm too proud of myself. No problem, I am too proud of myself. But now I cannot forget the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. And what the process, the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord are the first two cantos of Bhagavatam. And that gives us the process of bhakti. That describes the process of bhakti. So he says, now I cannot give up this process of bhakti. They may say, I'm too proud. What can I do? I am too proud because I am in the right process. I have given up the false ego and I have taken to the true ego. Actually, a devotee should be proud. And you can see Prabhupada, example of Prabhupada. Prabhupada was always walking like this. And for your information, maybe some devotees know that when Prabhupada was in Mayapur and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's Avirbhava was there, appearance day, his Guru Maharaj's appearance day was there, Prabhupada did not go to the Yogpeet, which was established by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. His god brothers were celebrating, and Prabhupada went to the Mayapur temple. And there, what he said? He said, now my god brothers will become very envious of me. They will criticize me that I haven't gone there. But you are my American disciples. People are calling me American guru. Now your duty is to make me so famous, make me so opulent, that my god brothers will burn with jealousy. Why? Prabhupada was not envious of them. Prabhupada wanted to make them more enthusiastic. What you are doing in sitting in the, go to the West and preach. So many places are there. Before going to America, after going to America, Prabhupada invited them. Come and help me. Come, you take some part of America. It's not my territory. It's all Krishna's territory. But our Guru Maharaj told us to preach all over the world. Don't just confine yourself to Mayapur. distributed. And that's why Prabhupada wanted to make them enthusiastic. Prabhupada was not envious. It seems like envy. But it's like, Prabhupada says, in transcendental competition in the spiritual world, Krishna Balaram run there. With this I'll finish. Krishna Balaram are running and devotees are running after him. And one devotee runs very fast and tries to catch. But I catch Krishna before you. But only with the desire that he'll run faster than me. And then he'll start running faster than him. Then he says, I'll catch. But it seems like he's envious. But he's only trying to inspire others. You run faster than me. You run faster than me. That was Prabhupada's mood of trying to make his God brothers envious of him. So that they will preach more enthusiastically. And then he'll preach more. And he'll preach. And then Krishna will become ultimately more famous. So this is bhakti cult. And we should be proud of it. And hopefully I haven't said something which is harmful or which is hurting. And if any questions or any comments or any corrections, then they're welcome. I think we can go 5 minutes more. Mathi, he raised his hand. Yes, Mataji. You can take the mic, Mataji. Some devotees are on FM, that's why.
I just want to mention a couple of things.
You can switch on the mic, I think.
Not feeling any bodily discomfort, and he gave an example about the Stalin. He had surgery without any anesthesia because he didn't trust his attendants because he was afraid they'd poison him if he was under general anesthesia. He used so much self-restraint and so much self-control that he actually had surgery without any anesthesia.
But that's a little difference, Mataji. What I was saying, giving Bhishma's example, this is Stalin was tolerating. Bhishma was not tolerating. Actually, he was detached. Stalin was not detached. And his life shows Stalin. Prabhupada gives Stalin example, as you rightly saying, he was self-controlled. Prabhupada says, even by practice, you can do that. Even you can become a mystic and do those things. But Stalin you can regard as a mystic. But what I was touching on, Paramatma taking over and we becoming detached, actually by bhakti. A devotee is very soft. Actually very soft. Stalin was a bodybuilder and he had such bad karma. But he built his body with that. But a gopi, a simple village girl, she won't feel any pain. Like when Krishna went to Mathura, all the gopis, all the Brajavasis, they were very soft people. They were not masculine people. They all starved and did not die. That was not tolerating. Generally, we focus on Trinadapi Sunichan, that we should tolerate injustice, we should tolerate this, we should. But that's not the level Prabhupada emphasizes on.
I'm wondering then, what you said metaphor.
That metaphor is, when we take to this bhakti process, gradually actually we become detached. Actually we start understanding, and not just understanding, we start seeing I'm separate from the body. I'm not this body.
Maybe Prabhupada just used it as a
mundane example. Yeah, for Stalin. Prabhupada gave that example for that we should be determined in our bhakti also. Like that, matra sparshastu kanteya. That heat and cold, but we should perform our sadhana. But that's not the level on which advanced devotees should be. Prabhupada wanted his advanced devotees to be actually enjoying sadhana bhakti. Not that, I have to, after 10 years also, it's cold, but Prabhupada said, I have to get up. If after 10 years also, I have to say that, that means I'm doing something wrong with bhakti. I get up, but I don't chant my rounds, that means. Because if I'm chanting my rounds properly, if I'm not sleeping in chanting, then after 2-3 years, I should have got that taste that actually cold should not affect me.
Joyfully
perform. And if it remains like a military discipline, even after 10 years, then how many years it will go on? A devotee will leave after some years. And we see devotees come, and then they don't take to the right process. They just keep it as austere, and they're not chanting properly. After a few years, then they say, this is too much. Then first they go, two lives. First they came enthusiastic, they were wearing dhoti, kurta, tilak, everything. And all the time, they were going out also, they were going to office also, some devotees, or college also. Gradually then they say, two lives have to be there. One pen shirt life, one dhoti kurta life. And then they say, come on, yeah, this dhoti kurta is too difficult. Then I have to be in a regiment. Yeah, come on, I want some space. So then they go out. And then they are coming as visitors. Initiated devotees, after 15, 20, 25, 30 years, they become visitors. And then they become aloof from ISKCON activities. Then they say, goodbye. I have heard everything. I have understood everything. This is not for me. That, why that happens is they haven't taken to the process properly. They didn't understand that they have to chant nicely. Prabhupada was very, very emphatic about it. One time, Prabhupada was going on these stairs, and one devotee, he didn't know Prabhupada was going to come. He was chanting very enthusiastically, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Prabhupada didn't laugh at him. Oh, you're making a show. Prabhupada stopped, and Prabhupada said, this is good chanting. One time, Prabhupada saw a bead bag. And why I gave that example? Now if we see, generally senior devotees see a junior devotee chanting very enthusiastically. Let's see how many years he'll go. And then they make face like that. They don't appreciate that he's chanting very clearly, loudly. Haridas Thakur says, chant loudly. Should be chanted. But no, chant softly. Now devotees say, chant softly. Like those smart brahmanas in Navadvip. They used to criticize devotees. Why they are chanting so loudly? Narayan is sleeping. He'll wake up. He'll destroy Navadvip. So that is the impression. Don't mind it, but that happens. Chant softly. Why chant softly? Why chant softly? We are chanting the holy names of the Lord. Lord likes when his devotees are chanting loudly. Not just kirtan, when we are chanting loudly. He likes that. And another time Prabhupada saw a bead bag, very dirty, hanging. Prabhupada says, whose bead bag is crying here? That means if bead bag is not clean, that means he is not chanting. Otherwise, how can he keep his bead bag clean? If he is chanting right, properly, then bead bag cannot be clean, cannot be unclean. No? He'll be conscious. He's not conscious. That's why Prabhupada says, before becoming Krishna conscious, become conscious of your surrounding. So, that's a little. Yes, Prabhu. No, our heart. Not chanting, heart. Yeah, he'll steal that butter. Yeah. He'll like to sit in that heart which is very clean. That's why before Krishna appears, Balramji appears. If you study 10th canto, first chapter, first and second chapter. Before Krishna appears in the womb, of course Krishna doesn't go in the womb, but it said, before Krishna appears, Balramji comes and Balramji cleans the heart. Krishna appeared in the heart of Vasudeva, then he got transferred into the heart of Devaki. So Vasudeva means complete pure consciousness. Shuddha Sattva means Vasudeva consciousness. That's the definition Prabhupada says. Vasudeva consciousness means pure consciousness or pure Shuddha Sattva consciousness or Krishna consciousness. So in a Krishna conscious, pure Krishna conscious heart, Krishna appears. But before that, six anarthas have to be removed. So six sons of Devaki, they have to be removed. After the six sons are removed, still the womb is dirty. So Balramji as Guru comes and cleans it up. Okay. And makes it very suitable for Krishna to come. And Balramji as Anant Shesh first lies down. Because Krishna cannot lie down on this bed, whatever, Dunlap bed. Krishna needs the softest bed. And that only Balramji can provide as Anant Shesh. Because a snake is very soft in touch. So, Prabhupada gives this explanation. Why Krishna likes that snake? Because snake is very soft to touch. Very sensuous. In sensuous scenes, they show snakes. So, snake's body is very, very soft. So, Krishna likes to sleep there. So, first we have to make our heart, we have to invite Balramji. That's why we should be worshippers of Balramji. And then Balramji will call Krishna. And Krishna will come. And that's why Balramji is Guru Tattva. So one should be surrendered to the instructions of the Guru Parampara, and then that Guru Parampara will clean this heart, will make it Nirmal Tvena. And then Krishna will be very happy to come and sit. And that is called soft butter heart. This is the condition mentality. We want to do this or this. Don't tell me to do both. And the answer is do both. And that's why Prabhupada made this system of everyday morning Bhagavatam and evening Bhagavad Gita class. If nicely prepared lectures are there, people will be inspired to attend and think about it and churn the butter of Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. These two things, hearing from devotees, not just hearing from advanced devotees, but hearing from devotees who try to understand and present it as a presentation. Prabhupada wanted ISKCON to be an educational institute. And in America, America is a country where different states have different educational system. They can make their educational system. So there are some states in America which don't have, Mataji is American, I think. So you can correct me if I'm wrong. Some devotees told me, in some states of America, they don't have written examination till 7th grade. They have orals, They have practicals. They are given to give some seminars. They are given some project. And after the project, they do some presentation. For 2-3 days, they will present it. And it's not like Indian engineering courses, dummy projects you can make. Live projects they have to make and present. So that kind of educational system, we should prepare class and present it like Prabhupada. Only Prabhupada. Before Prabhupada, I don't think, of course, Gaudiya Math, Bhaktivedanta Saraswati and all pure devotees, but Prabhupada, apart from Prabhupada, all over the world, people give lecture. And they don't care whether people are hearing or not. People come, go, they are just into their lecture. Okay, this is lecture style. And there is another style which is called presentation style. Prabhupada wanted it to be presentation style. This is a dais, and I'm speaking from here, for others to get involved and discuss. There could be conflicts. I could be wrong. My understanding could be wrong. So Prabhupada opened the stage for dialogues, right, after the class. And that's what Prabhupada wanted it, and answering you is, if I want to speak and present, I have to study. And that's why all Brahman-initiated devotees, actually Prabhupada wanted all devotees, even if they are not Brahman, they should be given chances to speak. But they should be told, this is the purport, you have to speak on the purport. Sometimes, unfortunately, people go tangential to the purport. They don't prepare. They just come 1 hour back, oh, I didn't get the time, but come on, something I have to speak. I spoke Krishna consciousness. No, we have to discuss Prabhupada purport with different Prabhupadas and our own realization, different Prabhupadas anecdotes and Prabhupadas, like different shlokas from Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Chaitanya Charitamrita. We have to explain that. Try to understand. It's not explaining, actually. Not trying to explain that. Trying to understand. These classes also are supposed to be study circles. Study it. Let's study. Okay. So I would say, Prabhupada said one chapter a day. Final. Your answer. Prabhupada said all devotees, all temple presidents should see that devotees in the temple are studying one chapter of my book a day. Now this is a big task. So Prabhupada said, but they should understand and study. Not just, study like a dogmatic thing, but they should study. And Prabhupada said one chapter a day. Very heavy. But now the GBC resolution many years back, they made the resolution at least 1 hour a day. We should study Prabhupada and Gargamuni Prabhu, Brahmanand Prabhu said, one time Prabhupada said to him that I haven't written these books, I'm speaking through my books. So if you're saying that we should hear from advanced devotees, then when you're reading Prabhupada's books, or of course you're hearing from Prabhupada, direct lectures, conversations, then you are, even if you're reading Prabhupada's books, you're actually hearing from Prabhupada. Because Prabhupada says, I'm speaking through these books. That's why Brahmananda Prabhu said that we should read it loudly. And I don't use read, I use study term. Because reading means novel, paper we read. Just go through the headline. Study means you are studying science and all. You are studying, you are getting into it. Scrutinizing study should be done. With making notes, marking it, important things, like we do in school and college. You should sit upright and do anything, not lie down and just like a casual thing. Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam are non-different from Krishna. We should not be casual with Krishna. If we take Krishna casually, Krishna will take our life casually and it will be disastrous for our bhakti. We will remain in bhakti cult, but we will not achieve the goal, because throughout our life we kept Krishna very casually. Oh, Krishna. I'm going to office and I'm reading. And before sleeping, I'm reading like a novel just to go to sleep. That's offense. That's serious offense. It's like, Bhagavatam is like deities, actually. Because, third canto. Two lotus feet, then this, then this. The whole Krishna's form is Bhagavatam. So Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita should be very respectfully kept, but not just kept. Respectfully kept and study. Whether you study from the laptop or whether you study with book, when you are studying Bhagavatam, you should be really careful. Krishna is watching you, how careful you are handling him. Okay. So both the things should be done, not one thing. So here we'll stop. I've taken too much time. I'm sorry. Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai.